The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Thank you for the very warm welcome. It's good to be here for our third meeting together. Understand the time is changing later this evening. And we're going to lose a night's sleep. Our sleep. Not a night's sleep, but 1 hour's sleep. So we need extra grace to help us through the crossover. I'm already adjusting to 6 hours time difference and doing well. And here we are, losing another hour. Jet lag on steroids. But the Lord is with us. The Lord is helping us as we continue our journey. We began the journey last night by looking at the theme, our internal architecture. It's certainly an unusual title for a conference. So we looked at what that meant in real terms, and we discovered that God works in our lives. That's the beauty of the sovereignty of God. Theologians have been debating the sovereignty of God for hundreds of years. I don't want to debate the sovereignty of God. I want to thank God for his sovereignty in our lives, which means he is always working. As we gather here this Saturday evening, God will be working in between 15 and 20 areas of our lives as we're sitting here minding our own business, hearing the word of God taught. We have the assurance that God is working in many areas of our lives. We found a pattern and a framework of how the Lord leads us forward. And we got to a place of response last night, that God is gracing the body of Christ to respond to his word at a deeper level. The 21st century church will be characterized as being a church of incredible depth. We're transitioning out of the superficiality of some aspects of the charismatic movement, and we are moving forward into being a people of depth for 21st century Christianity. This morning, we discovered we are a people of holiness. Not we are going to be, or we're working on our holiness project, but we have already been sanctified in Christ Jesus. And the sanctification process in our lives, where the Lord works out practically what he has already done on our behalf, is designed to be joyful and life-giving rather than a drudgery and misery. Tonight, we're going in another direction, but very much part of our conference theme, our internal architecture. We are a people that are hungry for a fresh move of God. The spiritual atmosphere right now is rich for a new move of God. The body of Christ all over America is experiencing different levels of hunger for God. With that, there's an internal struggle. Like Jacob, we spend part of our day wrestling with God. Part of us wants to embrace him more. Another part of us wants to distance ourselves from him more, so we can have our own happiness package where we've got God in our lives, but we're kind of rolling along without any real demand from God. That's a healthy internal struggle. But we're moving into a time and season where the church will encounter a new desperation for God. We are the household of faith. We are made up of men and women who know the Lord Jesus Christ. If there were an open microphone at the front of the church this evening, and you were invited to come down and share how God has moved in your life over the decades or years you've been a Christian, we would all be astonished. There's probably around 100, maybe 120 of us in the sanctuary. By the end of the evening, we would be totally astonished at all the Lord has done in our lives over the years. But in the year 2015, one thing we all have in common is a desire to see the Lord move in our lives afresh. Are you ready to see the Lord move in your life afresh? Are you willing to see God break through into the pastoral concerns of your life? Are you willing to sign up for the next move of God, even though we don't quite know what that will mean in practical terms? In essence, it's part of our internal architecture. It's part of how God works in our life, constructs our life, and structures our life. It means when there is going to be great change, we experience a breakthrough spirit. We experience a breaking through of God in our human spirit that has a profound impact on our soul and can very often change the directions of our life. When we understand the absolute necessity of a breakthrough spirit before anything happens in real terms, we can be willing to exercise godly patience, which is never easy for you and I as natural men and women. Exercising godly patience is a great message to preach and teach, but a difficult lifestyle to engage in. A breakthrough spirit is what's taken us into new spheres of the revelation of God over our Christian experience. I have been a Christian almost 32 years. I can remember times I've walked into a breakthrough spirit, where I've moved into a breakthrough spirit. At the beginning of this calling, when I started to take baby steps forward as a prophet, I encountered a breakthrough spirit. Before I was even ministering publicly, I was launched in my spirit. I became aware over that summer of having a call to the nations of the earth. But the fact nobody knew me anywhere never got in the way of that sense of knowing, because God had already launched me in my spirit, and the world around me was going to respond to that. There's nothing more frustrating than white-collar, white-knuckle Christianity. When we're trying to get God to do something, when we are taking hold of the scriptures and applying them like a mystical formula that compels God to move on our behalf, there's nothing more agonizing. Even when we're handling the word of life and believing promises, and yet there's a little voice in the inside saying, nothing's going to change, nothing's going to change, nothing's going to change. Man's version of Christianity is simple to define. man's version of Christianity has man at the center, asking God to back him up. The only time God honors that in our lives is when we're little children of the faith and we're stumbling forward as believers. The same way our natural dads, our earthly dads, honored our childish behavior when we were younger in order to facilitate us, so our Heavenly Father does the same when we're little children of the faith, when we're babies of the faith. But God-centered Christianity has Christ Jesus at the center, and we discover in God's sovereignty that our lives work best, function properly, when our choices find their origin in the heart and mind of God. In other words, we're living a life of God's choices being our choices. In reality, the church at this hour will walk into a breakthrough spirit combined, made up of a warring and pioneering anointing. There's a great battle going on in the United States of America, which means the warfare spirit in the church will intensify. A warning spirit in the church will multiply and develop greater potency. But in the back of the warring spirit, it will raise up a fresh generation of churches, leaders, and Christians to pioneer out of that anointing that comes forth from the breakthrough spirit. All of this has great divine purpose. We know and love our Lord Jesus Christ. He has many names and is known by many names in the scriptures. Jesus is manifesting as judge and ruler. Acts 10:42. And this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and dead. It's easy to read into that verse a salvation meaning. It's easy to read into that verse that Jesus judges and embraces the living and the dead in a judicial manner. And there are lots of elements of truth in that perspective. But Jesus as judge of the living, Jesus as righteous judge of the earth, is the original territorial spirit. For many of us that are familiar with intercession and prayer walks, we know that the enemy tries to take areas captive and use regions or even cities for evil purpose. We see how the enemy has infiltrated Hollywood. We see how the enemy has infiltrated lots of popular music, although not Beatles songs. Well, maybe one or two. But that's when they were having a bad day. I forgive them. We've moved on. But we can discern very quickly where the enemy is active, to the point we move into deception and believe that he is the territorial spirit. Jesus is the territorial spirit. He is the original territorial spirit. Look at how he constructed Israel's landmast, and look at how Jesus gave scope of operation for each tribe of Israel. Look at how Jesus gave the church, the early church, in the book of Acts, a mandate to go into all the world. church history reveals how much of a territorial spirit Jesus has been over the centuries. He took Europe, a sprawling landmass of nations built on a piracy economy, built in all kinds of warped and satanic principles, and he made Europe Christendom for many, many decades. He created a Western civilization as our Lord marked out territory on this planet we call Earth. The devil is an imitator. The devil is the counterfeit. We see the devil imitating our Lord in his attempts to establish a territorial control. Sometimes we give too much attention to the devil. You and I are called in the 21st century to be part of the fresh mandate the Lord is giving to the church, especially in a time where the church in the West is under great attack. And for you and I, the question is simply, where is our territory? What territory has God given you and I? It's easy to answer that question on behalf of Living Waters, because God has given Living Waters the city of Elk River as her territory. God has given Living Waters several nations or parts of nations on the earth, which is part of the Lord's plan for this house. But we need to be proactive when it comes to understanding the territory the Lord has given us. We can claim in the name and authority of Jesus that territory once we discover it, once it has been clearly mapped out and accurately defined. We can also claim it in the natural. We can anoint territories with oil. I know many in this house have a love for Ukraine. I know that Pastor Dave is going into Ukraine fairly soon. You can anoint on the world map the nation of Ukraine with oil. And that is no mere symbolic gesture. It does something with the connection and the territory God has already given you. And when you do that, heaven is backing you up. Heaven is backing you up because you've already surrendered to the mandate of God for your life, and you and I are aligned. We are aligned with the territorial spirit, Christ Jesus, the life-giving spirit, Christ Jesus. The pivotal question for the 21st century apostolic church is simply, Lord, where are you working? Sometimes it needs to be a question we ask of our churches. Lord, where are you working in a fellowship? In a pruning season, it's most unwise to embark on a citywide mission. When we discover where God is working, our prophetic eyes see not only a way forward, but see a strategy. Vision and strategy go together like bacon and egg. I feel hungry just thinking about bacon and egg. But true vision is supported by true strategy. In many ways, when we claim to be a visionary people, year in and year out, and we're not moving into strategic acts to fulfill that vision, it will sound like empty rhetoric, and people around us will simply switch off. People will no longer listen politely. They will lose interest in our leadership, and they will begin to disconnect from us because our words are not being backed up by action, and there's no fruit. There's a lack of fruit. But when we know where God is working, all that remains is for you and I to take advantage of the generosity of God. I believe there is a grace over Living Waters and over Elk River where the word of the Lord is simply take advantage of my generosity. We read in Romans 8, 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? God is incredibly generous. And it's over the house. It's over your life. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of God, because he's moving forward to you and I saying, take this, take that. When you're looking at the needs of the house or the needs in your own personal life, believe God to be very generous with you and not mealy-mouthed and stingy. The religious spirit is always mealy-mouthed because it says lots of things and says nothing in the process. And the religious spirit is incredibly stingy. It's the most stingy, grudging spirit in the universe. It's almost like God is reluctant to do anything on our behalf, and he is in perpetual anger towards us. And if he gives us something, it comes from a heart full of resentment and grudges. What a horrible picture to paint of God. Yeah. As the needs of the church intensifies in the 21st century, our natural options will diminish, so that all we have left is to depend entirely on the generosity of God. I said last night, we need to be a people that engage in kingdom pragmatics. It's powerful having a kingdom language. It's powerful having a kingdom vision. It's powerful having a kingdom strategy. But at a pragmatic level, when we do practical things, that's when the kingdom of heaven manifests upon the face of the earth. What we're receiving in this embryonic phase of moving into a breakthrough spirit is of a pioneering nature, but not just simply pioneering to do something new. It makes us automatically a prototype spirit. I'm a prototype spirit in Scotland regarding the prophetic. There's only two recognized prophets in the nation. I'm a prototype. I've experienced the joy and the suffering that goes with being a prototype. It means we're modeling something and we're not going away. It's easy to be critical of somebody and say, well, they're doing this now. He's moving in prophecy now. But this won't last. 18 years later, I'm still in Scotland and I'm still functioning as a prophet. I have ministered all over the nation of Scotland, and I've experienced different reactions to the demonstration of New Testament prophet. But either way, it's absolutely okay, because I understand the nature of being a prototype. Living Waters is a prototype church in Elk River. There's not any church like Living Waters in Elk River. Perhaps a lot of the churches love you for that. Maybe one or two are not so enthusiastic about that. But no matter where you're at as a fellowship in the popularity scales in the city, you're still here. And you're functioning as a prototype. In the fullness of time, many people will be impacted by the prototype anointing and begin to move into that shape and form, because a breakthrough spirit is actually a forerunner spirit to what God wants to do in a city, in a region, nation, and across the Western world. We're hungry for revival. And over the years, Living Waters has experienced different flavors of revival. And we're moving towards where I believe to be the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit before Jesus returns. It's not wise to tamper with times or dates. It would be most unwise to throw a time or a date out there for the return of Jesus. But all of the indicators at the moment would suggest it's going to be very soon. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Jesus returns between 2020 and 2050. I say that as information to be relaxed about, because none of us know the time or dates. But this final outpouring will bring forth a grace that will unite the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and it will be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Amen. But when the revival begins, it will be a starting place, not an outcome, a starting place. We know we're taking ground in God when we exercise dominion over the enemy in our region. I know the churches in Elk River have taken dominion over the works of the enemy in the city. I've been astonished over the years at the very low levels of crime in Elk River. The fact everyone goes to bed at night in Elk River with the front doors unlocked. All of this is alien to my urban mindset. In Glasgow, we super glue Doberman pinchers to the inside of our door. And we have got bolts and locks and counterinsurgency unit outside just in case. Glasgow can be a real sin city. Every week, people are murdered within a 2-mile radius of my home. It's the normal. We've had people shot dead in the estate that I live in. It's not as bad as they're making it out to be. It's happened. But we live generally in a very good subdivision. We live in a very good housing estate. So Elk River has experienced something of the people of God taking dominion over the enemy. But there's more to come. The work has not been finalized. And we're moving into a time where we understand the working out of a breakthrough spirit results in kingdom presence. And kingdom presence is designed in a generation to have a wider kingdom anointing for the city and other churches. I believe part of Living Waters' mandate is to export into other churches what God is doing here, that you are a governing church in the city of Elk River, not foisting something onto other churches that they maybe don't want, but by virtue of governing a city spiritually, that which God is bringing through the government of His son in this house will work in the spiritual cosmos around Elk River and begin to move into other fellowships. There should not be a replica of Living Waters, but be impacted by the wider kingdom anointing. We're moving into a time where the church is having to look at herself in the nation. And we're moving into a time where we're finding a new language for church. And I believe we're discovering a new concept for church in a generation. The church is essentially a company of people. Church in its ecclesiastical title somehow or other paints a picture of formality and stuffy people. Church is actually a rather clumsy word to use to describe the household of faith. The origins of church are found in the Greek system where the New Testament church emerged and was more appropriate to describing political assemblies or theatres of entertainment than a company of God's people. Community is a much better word for church. We've had to live with church for hundreds of years. It's a working title, but in essence, the 21st century church is designed to be a company of people, and in the developmental process, become a company of friends. But not just simply friends horizontally, but friends of Jesus. What a powerful concept that the church becomes a company of friends of Jesus. The key question for the church is simply, what is the depth of the river that we are swimming in at this hour? What does the river of the anointing look like in Living Waters or any other fellowship represented here tonight? Then it becomes very, very easy. Thank you, Bob. Then it becomes very, very easy. All we need to do is live up to the level of the anointing that's in house. All of us contribute to the river. All I have to do is live up to the level of the prophetic anointing that God has genuinely developed in me. I can't go any further than that, and I wouldn't want to go any further than that. But I wouldn't like to hold back either. We need to be living our kingdom lives in-house at the max of the river of God that's in evidence in all of our fellowships. This is the power of a breakthrough spirit. For when you and I begin to break through in a spirit, the river of God and our independent fellowships will start to rise at a dramatic level. The anointing is absolutely everything. The anointing is what stops you and I being part of a church that's a religious institution or a social club. And for the record, I'm very grateful for the social dimensions of the body of Christ. I have benefited enormously over my 32 years as a Christian because of the social component in the body of Christ. I came from a background of brokenness, being delivered from alcoholism in 1983, and was very needy and required a lot of care and attention. And I'm so grateful for Christians who gave me that care and attention in my formative years as a Christian, and somewhere along the line we became friends as well. But we need to be a people that acknowledge, receive, and move in the anointing. In the charismatic movement, we diluted what the anointing actually meant and considered it almost at a subconscious level as the power of God or the force of God that came from our lives. And of course, there are degrees of truth in that. But the anointing comes alone from the Holy Spirit. And we're ready for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit in a 21st century church. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." The 20th century is characterized by church historians as the Pentecostal century, a century where the Holy Spirit began to pour himself out in all flesh. But as the church has crossed over into the new millennium, we see a lot of the old motifs of the charismatic movement disappearing, the language of the charismatic movement disappearing, and a lot of anointings that we were very comfortable and familiar with in the previous century disappearing. At times, it's almost tempting to believe that the Spirit of God has left at least aspects of the church. But the 21st century is designed to be the sequel to the 20th century in terms of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We are being positioned for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And we're going to discover as we round off our time together tonight and tomorrow a language that will help us not so much ask the Holy Spirit to fill our lives for generic purpose, but a language that helps us develop in the Holy Spirit so he can legitimately fill our lives in a fresh and living way. Part of the training we're living in presently is developing a proactive spirit. Our human spirits are designed to lead and to operate in dominion. The battle of the ages is always a soul wanting to run the show. Our soul and our spirit, in many ways, are twin-like because they look very alike from a distance. But as a parent can tell the difference between so-called identical twins, so you and I, as part of our Christian discipleship, should get to a place of understanding the subtle or not so subtle differences between our soul and between our spirit. Our soul imitates our spirit a lot of the time and comes out with, "God told me," or "This is something that God's about to do." And it feels a lot like the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, but relax the depth and ongoing conviction of an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Which means at times we need to get it wrong before we get it right, and that's allowed too. But in our spirits, we can seek God. We can seek God in our frustration. We can seek the Holy Spirit when we perceive our spiritual dryness. We can seek the Holy Spirit in the written word of God, when the written word of God has only become information about God to us. In fact, there's a spirit of the scriptures that's so worthwhile pursuing that the ink in the pages start to live and breathe through that anointing of the Holy Spirit, characterized as the Spirit of the Scriptures, the seeking of the Holy Spirit, will take us so far in our journey where we need to change our prayer and we need to change our desires and convert our inward desire to pursue the Holy Spirit into a language where we are inviting the Holy Spirit to pursue us. We're instructed in the Word of God to be led by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, He does what He does best, and He does very well in our lives. But a risky prayer, a challenging prayer, a demanding prayer, is when we say, Holy Spirit, pursue me. In carnal moments in the day where we have disappointed and offended the Holy Spirit again, we can say, Holy Spirit, I've messed up. My inner life is not good. I've thought something dumb. I've said something clumsy. I'm sorry, but Holy Spirit, pursue me. Do you know that Jesus is Lord and exercises lordship over our lives? But do you know one of the New Testament names of the Holy Spirit is Lord? We actually live under the dominion of three lords in the kingdom of heaven. God the Father is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and the Holy Spirit is Lord. But we live under the dominion of one God. Three lords, one God. And that will never change. Then, as we pray, pursue us, Holy Spirit, we're pressing into the principle of Ephesians 4:13, where we're willing to dare to enter into the fullness of Christ. That's the outcome, but I believe when the Holy Spirit begins to pursue us, it will be challenging, it will be convicting, it will be transformational. But in the Holy Spirit's pursuit of us, we will encounter inner transformation that is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and not you and I trying to be better Christians or to do the Christian thing. So that reality will be measurable in our lives. The Holy Spirit will pursue us with wisdom and revelation. He will pursue us with holiness, with righteousness. The Holy Spirit will pursue us to open up our spiritual eyes and ears. The Holy Spirit, in pursuit of your life and my life, will bring us to a place of surrender. Sometimes we can't go any further in a calling until we surrender. If you're absolutely spiritually exhausted this night and have lived that way for a number of months or even years, I strongly suspect that the mandate of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to fresh surrender. A breakthrough spirit usually occurs in a believer's life at a time of great weakness. Spiritual experiences of any note usually occur when a person is in danger of great collapse in their lives. God does not visit our lives casually. When God visits our life with a breakthrough spirit, it always has divine purpose the other side. I believe to a person, every one of us here tonight yearns a breakthrough spirit, a breaking through in our own lives. I know Living Waters Church eagerly desires a breakthrough spirit to go further in her journey. There's not really five steps to a breakthrough spirit. A breakthrough spirit occurs because the Holy Spirit has done a work of depth in our lives, that we've paid the price to be candidates for a breakthrough spirit. And ultimately, it's for the purposes of God and not to enhance our own spirituality. Ultimately, it's for other people and not for us. Amen. But it reinforces the fact that God is working in the midst of his people, and God sees us as a people that truly belong to him. Now we are going to transition forward into a time of prophetic ministry. We believe in God to help us speak to people in season.
Can you kill his mic?
We will be moving into prophetic ministry shortly. Bob has some impressions that he shared with me, and I agree with the impressions entirely. I believe this is a good moment to invite the Holy Spirit to move in our midst and to begin to pursue us. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to have your life disrupted? If you ask the Holy Spirit to pursue you, maybe this time next year you will be pastoring in Zimbabwe. There's a certain risk by praying that kind of prayer. But if you're willing to be pursued by the Holy Spirit, stand on your feet right now. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you that you revealed yourself to the church in the early 20th century. We thank you for Azusa Street. We thank you for the Pentecostal movement. We thank you for the charismatic movement. We thank you for the way you have restored your gifts to the church, that you've restored a tabernacle of praise to the church. We thank you for the way you co-labored with the Father and the Son during the 20th century. But now this is the 21st century. And Holy Spirit, we are crazy enough to ask you to pursue us. For we know not what we pray, but we do know you will take our prayer very, very seriously. And Holy Spirit, I'm so grateful that you do the works of God within human beings. I'm so grateful, Holy Spirit, that you're working in billions of human spirits all over the world at this hour. So Holy Spirit, I remind you of the blood of Jesus that fell on earth's soil, ratifying the blood covenant between the Father and the Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are irresistibly attracted to the blood of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over every man and woman standing before you tonight and pray that as the blood of Jesus is over the lives, that you will begin to pursue the people that are standing in measurable ways. Yes, Holy Spirit, bring conviction where conviction is necessary. Bring transformation where transformation is necessary. Bring holiness and righteousness as part of the Lord's ongoing discipleship in our lives. But Holy Spirit, pursue us with a deeper hunger for God.
Yes. Yes.
Pursue us with a desire that we would truly be a Galatians 2:20 people, acknowledging we're already crucified in Christ and we're already alive in Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pursue us, Holy Spirit, with a biblical Christianity based on the Word of God.
Yeah.
A faith that will be a faith that refuses to bow under the pressure of secular society.
Lord.
A faith that refuses to compromise with liberal Christianity. Pursue us, Holy Spirit, with destiny, with more of your gifts.
Yes.
Pursue us with truth. Lead us forward, Holy Spirit, even through crisis, if that's what it takes. Pursue us, Holy Spirit, with the call of God in our lives. Awaken, Holy Spirit, the call of God in our lives.
Yes.
Give us a kingdom identity in a nation that's secularizing. Give us kingdom identity in a nation that's confused politically. And Holy Spirit, in all of this, be a comforter, be a strengthener, be a standby, that we will be able to do things in your grace that we cannot do in ourselves. Short circuit our soulish desires, Holy Spirit, that have no eternal value whatsoever. Holy Spirit, remove the lies of the enemy that's kept us captive. Holy Spirit, remove the sense of poor self-esteem that so many of the people of God live in. Birth, Holy Spirit, Christ's esteem in the hearts and minds of the saints. Christ's esteem, where we recognize our identity is in the Anointed One and His anointing alone.
Yeah. Yes.
Holy Spirit, pursue us with light. Pursue us and shine your light into our lives. Pursue us with the light of God and illuminate our lives and animate our lives, that we will carry kingdom presence everywhere we go, that people will see the reality of who you are in our lives when we walk into a room. Be with us, Spirit of the Lord, and we invite you to pursue us in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our attitudes. Uproot what requires uprooting and seed us with fresh truth, Holy Spirit. You will not leave us as orphans in this process. Seed us with fresh truth, and with the measure we hear, so we will grow. Give us over, Holy Spirit, to a spirit of study, a spirit of truth, that we will grow, that we will develop, that we will rejoice, that you continually apprehend us to grow us, to develop us, to extinguish our selfishness, to demolish our own sense of empire. Holy Spirit, we've prayed a sacred prayer, and when you start to do this, and we're far from happy, we have no one to complain to, because you will take this prayer very seriously, because of our consecration, because of the blood of Jesus that sprinkled over our lives, and because of the ongoing destiny that you're leading us into. Thank you, Spirit of the Living God. Holy Spirit, we dare to call you Lord, because the Word of God calls you Lord. Yes. Holy Spirit, we want to get to know the person, the century, and we ask you to forgive us for wanting to only receive your power in the last century. Yeah. Help us, Spirit of the Living God, as we move forward at this hour. Amen. Amen.
I want to lead us in a prayer.
Go for it.
I feel like the Lord is saying it's important that we make a declaration with our own lips, with our own mouth. And I'm going to lead us in that, if that's okay. Yeah. Just repeat after me. You know, our words are very important. Yeah. Thank God for the prayer of the man of God, but we need to make a declaration with our own mouth. Yeah. So if you would, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I ask you to pursue me. I give you permission to pursue my life.
I give you permission to pursue my life.
I declare I've been bought with a price.
I declare I've been bought with a price.
And my life is not my own.
And my life is not my own.
Give me that breakthrough spirit.
Give me that breakthrough spirit.
That makes me a warrior.
That makes me a warrior.
And makes me a pioneer.
And makes me a pioneer.
For the sake of your kingdom.
For the sake of your kingdom.
And to the glory of God.
And to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We'll just go for it.
Yeah. Okay. You may be seated. This has been an incredibly holy moment that will either rejoice over the rest of our lives or regret the rest of our lives. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to move, it really takes hold of our own agendas. And sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit can make us mad before it makes us glad. And we learn and grow in the process. I encourage you to journal your life from this moment on. I encourage you to journal every little challenge you feel the Holy Spirit is bringing to you. Or if you begin to experience things that's never happened before, and God's doing things in your life that He's never done before, that's all part of the Holy Spirit pursuing you. It's not a negative prayer. It's a very positive prayer. It's a life-changing prayer. But it does have consequences. We believe in Jesus, and we're very comfortable with that. But Jesus is another people for you to discover. Jesus is very much in other people's lives that you will discover along the way. And we experience the reality of being a Holy Spirit-filled community that's willing to be missional, that's willing to move out the way. There are many people serving God in the nations tonight that would have thought this could never be. 20 years ago in 1995, I would never have imagined that in 2015 I would be preaching the Word of God in Minnesota on a Saturday night. So when the Holy Spirit takes hold of our lives, change is here to stay, and we become people we've never been before. That's the power of the work of the Holy Spirit, that the new creature is manifesting, and we become a person that we have never been before. The 7 years that I can see looking back the way, 7 years where God was preparing me at a very deep level to be a prophet, were 7 years of growing in the Word of God, but yet 7 years of ongoing suffering through major health issues, through the early death of my mother, and through all kinds of suffering dynamics. I had no idea that in the midst of all of that, God was preparing me to be a prophet. He omitted to fill in the detail in that area. He did the work of preparation and then launched me. So we are a people that will discover the future as we discover the Holy Spirit. There's a correlation between the two, the future and the Holy Spirit.